Welcome in, everybody, to a bonus episode of That Movie Show.
That bonus show.
That Spider Show.
That Spider Show.
Spider-Man Far From Home has hit theaters, and it is really, really good.
Yeah.
So
this is the movie that closes out phase three, which is really exciting because It's kind of like a season finale.
Pretty much.
You know, obviously you have the, this follows up the event film that was Avengers Endgame. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, was it going to kind of kick off and keep the train rolling, or was there going to be a big letdown, kind of like what happened between Infinity War and Ant-Man and the Wasp?
It kept the gravy train rolling for Marvel's executives and the money.
All right. And that was the Spider-Man Far From Home review.
I just let people know we're doing spoiler free for a few minutes. We'll let you know when we're going to touch spoilers. You don't have to like, oh my God, they're going to talk about Spider-Man and move on. No, listen to this. We'll let you know.
We'll give you a heads up.
The business side of this type of review, because my OCD requires it, it was released, last week? July 2nd. Had a budget of $160 million. So far, it's come in just over $600 million at the box office, directed by John Watts, written by Chris McKenna and Eric Summers, of course, based on Spider-Man by Stan Lee and Steven Ditko. Stars Tom Holland, Samuel L. Jackson, Zendaya, Colby Smulders, John Favreau, J.B. Smooth. I love that J.B. Smooth was in this movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Martin Starr, Marissa Tomei, Jake Gyllenhaal, and a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
A bunch of other people. I'm sure I'm forgetting people.
John Favreau. I don't know if you mentioned him, but John Favreau.
Of course John Favreau's in it. Who would have thought that he would have longevity in the MCU?
He's the godfather of the MCU.
But Tony Stark's dead.
Yeah.
No, that was spoiling the other movie. We already did that one.
Yeah, whatever. Here's the thing. At this point, if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame, you're an asshole if you're going to get mad about spoilers.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean?
You shouldn't be seeing this movie. I mean, that's exactly the first trailer couldn't have been released better for this when Tom Holland opened up and said, by the way, exactly what you said, you know, he cleaned it up a bit.
Hey,
he has a lovely British accent.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Endgame, this will spoil Endgame.
This movie
spoils Endgame.
Well, also, if you just got mad about saying that Tony Stark died you literally had your chance. You can't like not go see the movie when it's the biggest movie of all time, and then be like, "Well, I'm still on Infinity War."
Reading the comics.
Yeah, I'm reading the comics.
Spider-Man Far From Home, fantastic movie. I had so much fun with this. Also, I think coming off of Endgame, the runtime was very enjoyable.
It was a tight movie. It was very well paced from start to finish. It felt like it had a purpose. It felt like it had a story. It's definitely worth seeing, especially because, this movie ends up kicking off what will be phase four. This is the type of season finale that is a major cliffhanger.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the first time in a while. I don't remember the last one. I could really say that not only the mid credit, but the end credit scene were both extremely impactful for the future of the MCU.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of what ifs. There's a lot of, you know, things that are up in the air. And there are a lot of questions that, you know, the biggest thing that this movie had, like, a knocking against it was, okay, we had the highest of highs of Endgame.
Right.
So...
And the lowest of lows.
Yeah, right. But no, we had the highest of highs of Endgame and like what that movie was to the MCU. And now because that story's done, is Marvel and is Disney going, are Disney going to be able to keep the train rolling and keep this franchise alive? Or is it over at 22?
For the sake of them, they better, I hope they've already had some conversations with Sony, because losing Spider-Man over a contract dispute, especially this iteration of Spider-Man, and what he's meant to the current MCU, would be just stupid.
It
would just be fucking stupid.
Even more so. I mean, and we'll get into it a little bit more in the actual spoiler portion of this, but
right.
Yeah, man, this movie is set up for him to be such a major player. I mean, they talk about it in the trailers for this, where those police officers ask him, like, so are you the new Iron Man now? Right. And it's like, that's a big question in this movie,
right?
You know, and they do a great job of answering it and showing what that means. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, yeah. So Disney and Sony gotta, you know, put whatever egos they gotta put aside, because they're both gonna make a lot of money, because this character and this actor are he's a major, major player.
I mean, ultimately, I believe it's gonna come down because obviously, I from what I've read, and I try, because math and numbers just bores the shit out of me. So I've tried to not read a lot about the contracts between Sony and the loaning of Spider-Man and all that stuff. But what it seems to me from an amateur perspective is basically it's going to come down to them, what they want to do with it.
Like, right.
They have to, it's because they're because Sony's making all the profit off this.
Like, right.
Marvel is just creating the story and, you know, all of the creative right. stuff. They're kind of like creative consultants, for lack of a better term.
Yes.
And Sony is reaping all the financial benefits of it. So it's basically going to come down to, all right, let's keep this gravy train rolling and give us Venom.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Everything.
Give us Venom. We're going to keep this going. You can't have Sam Jackson and Sony. Sorry.
Yeah. You know? Everything is very much like better when Marvel has control.
Obviously, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's so much better when they actually have control and Kevin Feige.
Oh, Fantastic Four.
Yeah, right. You know, and so it's like, let's see, you know, let's keep this going, because, yeah, this movie's good, man. This movie is really good.
Yeah.
And it's different than Endgame.
It's, a world different than Endgame. It's weird because it's very lighthearted. It's funny.
Right.
It's funny throughout, but it's also it has its serious points, and they hit them well. It doesn't feel forced. The actors do a great job. We're about 10 minutes in. You want to jump into spoilers?
Yeah, let's do it.
Time to get into spoilers. Spider-Man Far From Home. So let's jump right into it. The goddamn post-credit scenes are fucking amazing. Nick Fury is a Skrull.
Yeah.
And J. Jonah Jameson, J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson, is in the motherfucking MCU.
Yeah, that's
and the Daily Bugle is a fucking InfoWars style video blog.
You know, so they did that a little bit in the Spider-Man video game for PS4. That was the take on J. Jonah Jameson in that. So like, you'd be Spider-Man swinging around the city, and then
I didn't play the video game, but that part of the mid-credit scene when he was swinging around. Because I saw people post it on Facebook a lot when they got the game. So him taking a selfie with the two fingers up, that was a reference to the game, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. See, I'm smart.
Yeah. And so, you know, but yeah, it's great that J. Jonah Jameson kind of – it definitely brings that character to the, you know, 2019.
Brings him to the MCU.
You know, it brings him to the MCU. J.K. Simmons always had to play J. Jonah Jameson. Fantastic. And I'm so, like, it just shows you just how on the pulse and firing on all cylinders, you know, Kevin Feige and everybody at Marvel Studios are.
And who better to reveal to the world that Spider-Man is Peter Parker than J. Jonah Jameson?
Right.
I mean, come on. That's been the character's arc forever.
Right, exactly.
Give me a picture of Spider-Man.
Yeah, I hate him. I hate him.
Why?
Like, why? Yeah. You know, it's absolutely great. It really, you know, just because that one sets up a lot of stuff. And then Samuel L. Jackson as a Skrull.
Right.
You know, it's really interesting. You know, we were talking about it with the guys over at NAI Pod, right? And so we were talking about it. And it's like, okay. So, at what point was Sam Jackson a Skrull?
So, here's what I've done a little bit of research, and I think he's been using it to his convenience, because the director of Spider-Man and Kevin Feige have both said that that was the real Nick Fury at the funeral.
Yeah.
However, it's arguable that he's been doing it since the 90s.
So my thought process is,
you know, he beamed down or whatever for the funeral. And he's like, all right, you can handle the Spider-Man shit.
My argument, or what my thought process behind it is, he was real Nick Fury up until the events of Captain America, Winter Soldier. Okay. So basically Nick Fury dedicates his life to S.H.I.E.L.D. and building S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything.
So once he basically assembles the Avengers.
So yeah, real close.
That was the build up to that. He was trying to gather everybody.
But the big thing was the collapse of S.H.I.E.L.D., right? Okay. S.H.I.E.L.D. was infiltrated by Hydra. S.H.I.E.L.D. collapses. Right. And so now Nick Fury, instead of trying to rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D. on like Earth, tries to basically build intergalactic S.H.I.E.L.D.
I mean, it makes complete sense.
That would, and then just in and out from there, because we don't see him all that much after Winter Soldier.
It also, and I did like that they kind of cleaned up this plot hole that we've had in a lot of these solo movies, which is, when shit's going down, why don't you call the Avengers? Well, because the Skrull didn't have Thor's number.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? It was a convenient way to get around, hey, the world's coming to an end. Maybe, I don't know, the Hulk would help here, or Captain America, right, or anybody.
Anybody. You
know? Where are the fucking Avengers? Why? Like, and I did like that they made that whole little conversation where Peter Parker's just like, I'm just a kid. What the fuck? Where's Thor? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's off world.
he's peaced out with the Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, which is great. But I also love that they filled in the plot hole from the 5-year gap.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically my
very clever. I like that.
You know, they do a great job, because they did exactly what I hoped they would do.
Also add a little B plot villain in there with the guy who aged 5 years and was hitting on MJ.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the little kid that ended up like growing up.
Yep. What was his name? I forget. I'm trying to find him in the credits, but doesn't matter.
Yeah, but the big thing was is that like when Terrence Howard got ousted as Rhodey and they brought in Don Cheadle.
Yep.
In Iron Man 2, John Cheadle just walks in and goes, yep, it's me. Like, get over it. We're moving on.
And it was a big deal. Yep.
Yeah. And it was just perfect. And that's kind of what I feel like they did for this, right? Mm-hmm. They just like start this video and they're like, yeah, this is bullshit. We all got snapped away and now we have to start the year over again. Mm-hmm. And so we're just, everybody is the same age. Like, we're just gonna, like, that's how this is working. Like, you're...
Oh, yeah. The little high school video podcast thing. That was fucking hilarious.
And it's just like, look, if you were 16 at that time, you're still 16. That's how we're dealing with this.
And if you're 21, you're still 16.
Yeah, right.
And it's so just a little creepier. Oh, my God, I loved... Okay, so J.B. Smoove, one of my favorite people on Earth. If you've never watched Curb Your Enthusiasm, seriously, go seek it out.
Yeah.
J.B. Smoove is a national treasure. And him in this, I just couldn't help laughing every time he spoke, especially when he went up to the kid who's now 21 as opposed to 16. And he's like, look, man, you got to stop taking pictures of people in the bathroom. It's weird. It's creepy. You're an old man now.
Yeah, right. Right. It was good. It was so good. I absolutely thought it was fantastic. J.B. Smoove was great.
Martin Starr, who is at very little, you know, he was in Homecoming and this, but great. He nails him on both of them. Another very funny comedic actor. I don't know why. I'm plugging the shit out of HBO shows lately. I did on the radio show.
Yeah, I know.
I'm doing here. Silicon Valley. He's fantastic in it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another right.
Show. Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
But yeah, let's jump a little bit into it. Gyllenhaal worked really well as Mysterio.
Gyllenhaal was great.
with very little comic book knowledge, but enough people that do have comic book knowledge have said that the Mysterio character works in the movie.
Oh, he definitely does. I know exactly who that character was. You know, the plot reveal of him being a bad guy, you know, as soon as he showed up with the dome on his head, I was like, oh, it's Mysterio and he's the bad guy. Right. And of course the monsters are illusions. You know what I mean? Like, I knew what the plan was the entire time. I thought it was really cool the way that they implemented it with the drones and projectors.
Like, I also liked how they kind of flashed back to how they're all like disgraced Stark employees, and including having Peter Billingsley thrown in there.
Yeah, it was great.
With a ball cap. My brother leaned in. We were watching at the theater, and he's like, that the kid from The Christmas Story? I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Then after the movie, I had to explain that he's friends with Favreau, and him and Vince Vaughn produce all these movies and stuff. And he was a producer on Iron Man and stuff like
right.
that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the whole, how does it work with the comics? Now, are they following anything anymore?
So they're basically just kind of doing what we were talking about on the radio show with the Joker, right? Where it's like they're taking loose plot points and stories. And as somebody who knows these stories and loves these stories, they're giving me something familiar and staying true to these characters while also changing enough of it so that I don't see everything coming a million miles away. Mm-hmm. So now, in terms, like, nothing was really surprising in terms of what this story was, in terms of, like, this was a classic Mysterio story, right? Mm-hmm. He basically comes in, he wants to be the hero, and so he basically uses illusions, because in the comic books, he's like a disgraced magician, and so he uses a lot of illusions.
Illusions, Michael.
Illusions. But he uses
something a whore does for money, or cocaine.
But that's basically what the character is so he's definitely a built-in deception, sure. Right? And so this character was built in deception. I love that the motivation was so great, because mm-hmm. that's refreshing. Yeah. We're all disgraced Tony Stark employees. This is the guy that built the technology that was at the beginning of Civil War. Yep. Right. You know, and so it was great. You know, it was really refreshing. It was really great. The idea that it was like Tony Stark and his legacy, you know, because here's the thing. Iron Man's still alive. You know what I mean? In the comic books, okay. You know, or sort of. But anyway, not important. But the
moving on.
The point is that, you know, having Tony Stark have this legacy and asking the question, is Peter Parker the next Spider-Man, or the next Iron Man, is he the leader of the Avengers now that Captain America and Iron Man are gone? You know, who are you? What are you doing? You know, for a movie series that never has really had Uncle Ben be a prominent figure in it.
But they did have his initials on the suitcase.
Which is a nice touch. Very nice touch. Tony Stark has kind of filled that role of the guy that, like, hey, Peter, you need to be better. You need to be better than you are, right?
Sounds like Happy's filling that void now.
Well, he's filling a maze void.
What I did like about the whole Iron Man thing and the Tony Stark thing is that they didn't, because it was one of those things that you hear a lot of people on the internet saying, oh, well, he's going to have an AI thing or whatever the fuck. I like that the Edith technology wasn't Robert Downey Jr.'s voice.
Yeah, right.
Because it's almost like a too soon type of thing, and it would have kind of downplayed how important Endgame was.
Right.
You know,
but it was fun that we still got the, like, even in death, I'm the hero.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Well, it's still Tony Stark. I mean, he created this shit. He's still an asshole.
Yeah. Right. You know, and I think it's really funny. The bigger thing is that where we're going, because the story was fun and it's awesome and it's great. And, you know, but the mid-credit scene, yep. Right, is so important. And it kind of points the direction of what Phase 4 is going to be, which I think is going to be Dark Reign. Right. So Dark Reign is a story in the MCU, and I think that the both of the end credit scenes mash up together. So in Thor Ragnarok, they took Ragnarok, the Thor story, and they took Planet Hulk, a Hulk story, and they smashed them together.
Right.
And so they made one movie instead of making two, meh movies, they made one really good movie. So I think they're going to do the same thing in Phase 4, where they're going to tell the story of the Secret Invasion and Dark Reign. Okay. And what Secret Invasion is the Skrulls are the bad guys, and they infiltrate Earth, and they start imposing, like, they start impersonating all the heroes. So nobody knows who's a good guy and who's a bad guy. Okay. There's ended up being this huge battle in New York, and Norman Osborn, who is a major Spider-Man villain, the Green Goblin, ends up killing the Skrull Queen, stopping the whole thing. And so the world turns to Norman Osborn and goes, well, we got to get rid of Tony Stark because, you know, we can't trust him. He allowed this to happen. So Norman, you're in charge now. And because he's a bad guy, he creates his own version of the Avengers, but they're all bad guys.
Okay.
And so it feels like that's more of what Phase 4 is going to be. Hmm. It's going to be a combination of those two things.
Interesting. So it sounds very complicated.
I wouldn't be surprised if we, maybe not right away, but towards the end of the, like, this phase, a Skrull Robert Downey Jr. shows up.
Ooh, I don't know how I feel about that just yet. So a couple questions, like comic booky type of questions. So who the fuck is Flash? Because I know the character has to be something in the comic books because he's so prevalent and he's such a dick to Peter Parker.
Yeah, so Flash Thompson is his high school bully.
Okay.
So,
well, that I know from the movies.
Right, and that's who he is in the comic books.
So does he doesn't turn into anybody? He doesn't really have a purpose other than to be a dick in high school?
He does. He ends up becoming Agent Venom. So basically, he goes off to war, he kind of disappears, and he ends up becoming like this soldier version of Venom. The symbiote that is Venom goes from person to person.
Sure.
And he's one of the people that becomes like Venom, basically.
Okay. There was a scene at the very end of the movie when they all got back to America, and Flash walks up to the limo driver, and he made a comment, and I felt it was extremely unnecessary for the movie, but I felt that I was just not getting the reference, where he looks at the limo driver and goes, "Mother couldn't make it," and they just kind of held there, and I didn't know if there was like a thing there or...
Yeah, I think that moment is just more to...
Like, I'm guessing it's fan service, because why the fuck does it matter?
Yeah, well, I think it's more to kind of just give you, I guess, Flash's perspective, I guess, you know what I mean, make him a little bit more human.
Okay.
Because it's like, oh, he's a dick to Peter because,
but he loves Spider-Man.
Yeah, he loves Spider-Man.
Hilarious.
Yeah, but he's a dick to Peter because this is where his bully juice comes from, you know what I mean? It's like, this is why he's doing it, because his mom doesn't actually love him.
Bully juice,
yeah,
coming soon.
It's a new show on the Disney Channel.
Bully Juice. It's on the shelves in a six pack next to Booty Sweat by Al Pacino.
Yeah, it is. Booty Sweat by Al Pacino.
Al Pacino. I was actually just watching Tropic Thunder with dinner tonight.
Peyton Lance Bass.
That's got to get on our fucking schedule this year.
It does.
That movie is so fucking good.
That movie is so fucking good.
Great. The Ned and his girlfriend in Europe, and then getting home and breaking up, their whole little brief
arc.
Oh, Ned is amazing.
Yeah, Ned is amazing.
Ned might be one of the top three MCU characters.
He's great. He's a made up character.
I was going to ask if he was, so he's MCU strictly.
Yeah, he's, okay. I mean, it might be one of those like Lucius Fox situations where Lucius Fox was not from Batman, from the Dark Knight, and Batman Begins, not a real character. So popular, they put him in. And so, same thing with Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn was not a real character. And then she was in Batman, the animated series. Oh. And was so popular that they put her in the comic books.
Interesting. What's your take on MJ here? Because we're about to record Spider-Man 2, and I have some thoughts.
There's
an MJ in both.
I like this version better than Kirsten Dunst's version.
I agree.
You know,
I also and we'll get to Spider-Man 2 on the other podcast, but something about like, I like that these kids look like fucking high school kids. This isn't like a Beverly Hills 90210 situation where they look older, but they're playing high school. It's like they look like kids. Like, I'm
right.
I'm buying this story. Yeah, I like it. I think her snarkiness and the contrast, I guess, to the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man being like, yeah, Peter Parker fucks up a lot, but I don't know, the Tobey Maguire one just seemed like a bumbling fucking idiot.
Yeah,
like, one fucks up a lot, but it's like he's not a laughing stock per se.
Yeah, right. He feels more heroic than Tobey Maguire's. The other thing too is that this version of Spider-Man,
and nobody thinks of Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. No, it's sad because Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, until I'm going to take Tom Holland out of it, because Tom Holland is perfect as both. Right. He is a great Peter Parker and he's a fantastic Spider-Man. And
an amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah. Tobey Maguire. Was great as Peter Parker, but not great as Spider-Man. And so, but Andrew Garfield was great as Spider-Man, not good as Peter Parker. And because like Tobey Maguire didn't get the like quippiness and like the dorkish humor that kind of comes with Spider-Man.
Okay.
And Andrew Garfield did get that, right. But Tobey Maguire was more nerdy and introverted that Peter Parker needed to be.
I haven't seen the Garfield ones. I've only watched them once probably, and it was way when they came out.
Yeah, right.
What age bracket were they? Because Garfield looks like 40.
Yeah, that's the weird part, because Garfield's supposed to be in high school.
Oh.
Yeah. Garfield's supposed to be in high school, and
Dylan McKay.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure we start in high school for Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, but he's
in college in the sequel, and MJ's getting married and like I don't know, L'Oreal billboard girl or some such shit. I don't know.
We'll
talk about that on the other pod.
Yeah, in the first movie they graduate high school, mm-hmm. But so that's kind of their age bracket. But I mean, even they look old.
Yeah, they did.
They look very old.
So. Anything else really?
No, I think that's it.
Happy was great in it. Again, the humor was fantastic. The comedy worked really, really well in this movie. The illusion-y action scene was so fucking good.
Yeah.
When he was just fucking with his brain, and all of a sudden there's like 50 Spider-Man beating the shit out of each other, and he's changing suits. I'm telling you. As much when you go listen to the Spider-Man 2 podcast, as much as I'm going to shit on Tobey Maguire, I completely thought he was going to pop up in that scene.
Yes.
I was like, this is it. Because everyone had rumored that he did something here. And I'm like, this has to be it. Because it was every incarnation of Spider-Man that we've seen Tom Holland do, all the suits, including the sweatpants with goggles and stuff.
Yeah. So it would have been cool if we saw Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire.
Because I mean, I don't know. I just rumors and innuendo, as they say. They tried to get him for the Into the Spider-Verse, right?
Right.
Like, they tried to do something with them and just couldn't make it work or some shit. I was like, this is I'm watching the scene and I'm like, this is it. This is where it's gonna happen.
Because
that was so fucking good. The way they did that, awesome.
Yeah.
Just fucking awesome. That was a great scene. And Gyllenhaal as Mysterio was fantastic. I'm almost I'm a little sad that he's dead.
I don't think he's dead.
Ooh.
I don't think he's dead. So
there, Liam.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he more than any of the other characters, that's like his jam. Is like he's the master illusionist, right? And so like he can come back from the dead like that.
He's still out there. Well, we know Billingsley did. He downloaded some shit, and he's out there with the tech. So
right. Well, right.
That has to be paid off somewhere.
Right. There's also the possibility that Mysterio is more than one person. Right. That entire group of people are Mysterio, not just Jake Gyllenhaal.
All right. Settle down, Spartacus.
Okay, we are Spartacus, right?
I am Mysterio. All right. Sit the fuck down.
Yeah. I'm Mysterio.
You all have attention. Shut up.
So, yes.
Is that Far From Home?
That's Spider-Man Far From Home.
All right. Spider-Man Far From Home. It's in theaters now. I highly recommend going to see it. It is a ball of fun and a really well done movie. And definitely not only stick around for the mid-credit scene, but stay through all the 10 minutes of credits to get to that last scene because it's really fucking good. Subscribe to That Movie Show on all podcasting apps. If you're listening to this, you already have. Thank you very much. Tell your friends to subscribe on their podcasting apps. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/wick. That's the other one. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mike Went, Liam Stryker, follow us on social media at Mike Went at Liam NAI, hashtag That Movie Show, and let us know. Somebody suggested something on Twitter, and I still haven't Googled it to see if it's actually real. Bill said it was real. It was like a spoofy Avengers movie where Shawn Michaels plays
the Hulk. No, that's real.
Oh, my God. That looks ridiculous.
It looks terrible.
All right. This year's Christmas watch-along, I think, has been scheduled, folks.
Yes, it has. Shawn Michaels starring as the Hulk.
As the Hulk. That looks awful. Looks like total shit. But that's how these things get done. You follow us on Twitter. You suggest a movie. If the movie is bad enough, we review it.
Of course.
That's how it works. Thank you for joining us for this bonus edition of That Movie Show covering Spider-Man Far From Home. And we will see you later.
Bye.